God, our Father, we thank you for this very special time. We thank you for all the words we've heard today, and we pray that you will let them go deep into our hearts, Lord, as we go into this Christmas time. And please help us to continue to open our minds and hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. John chapter 1, it's just John chapter 1. The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. Jesus came as a light into our dark world. There's plenty of darkness in the world at the moment, isn't there? Have you seen our Christmas card? I think it might be up there, or just about up there. I had actually planned this before I saw the Christmas card. Interesting, isn't it? I thought this was my good idea. How wrong was I? I feel God is really wanting us to realize that no matter how dark things are in the world, and for us as well, he can bring light. Later in John, we read that Jesus said he was the light of the world. And you know, he said that one morning, very, very early, as he stood in the temple. The courtyard would have been blazing with a mass lot of lights because it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Yet it was a dark world that Jesus came into. And he was often surrounded by people who lived in great darkness. What about the woman caught in adultery at his feet, humiliated and facing execution? Divorce and adultery were rife in those times. No different. People were just pushed aside often because they were ill, weren't they? People didn't want anything to do with people who were ill. Jesus hurt for these people, and he helped many of them find light in their lives. And you know, the Christmas story, of course, is full of light, isn't it? How many times do angels appear? To Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds? Goodness, it must have been bright when those shepherds were in that field, wasn't it? And all that host of angels came. You know, you can see why they could have been terrified. Sky, absolutely brilliant. And then the star that the wise men followed. Light everywhere. Some beautiful, bright stars in the sky last night, if you were looking up. For me, this time of year is all about light. And everywhere you look, you can see lights, can't you? Is your road well lit up? Our road's excellently lit up. I won't say who started it off, but you know. But our house is a little bit now. I got the tree up yesterday, so we've got some lights around. And look at this beautiful Christmas tree. Isn't it lovely? The light's just shining out. Just make me excited. I love Christmas. And all this light everywhere, even on the gloomiest of days. And it is a gloomy day, isn't it? But yet, the lights shine out. So why all this light at Christmas time? I'm going to mention three ways. There's probably lots of reasons you could think of for Jesus and light, but I'm going to mention three ways this morning that we can perhaps see why Jesus called himself the light of the world. The first is a spotlight. Have you ever been under a spotlight? You will have, Xanthi. Yes, she's nodding on the stage. It can be a bit uncomfortable to be under a spotlight. Every expression, every movement, and even every mistake shown up. How do you feel when the sun shines into your lounge? Do you see little bits of dust and things where they shouldn't be? Yeah. Dear me, I don't talk about my bedroom windows. Every time the sun comes out, I think, I must come and do those windows. I will this week. That's what light and darkness does, doesn't it? Light and brightness does in the dark. It shows up things that can be wrong. As I've said, we live in a world of very much darkness, suffering people in other nations and in our own nation, lives turned upside down by darkness. How important is it that we as Christians should pray for the people who are suffering all around the world and in our own country? And pray for the leaders of nations that they'll find light and love and the wisdom of Jesus in their lives and in their situations. How about our lives? When Jesus shines his true holiness into our lives, what do we find? I know for me, he often reflects things that are not quite right. Maybe it's a lack of love or lack of caring, or so we can go on, can't we? But you see, as he shines his light into our lives, it's not a condemnation, but rather an offer of wonderful forgiveness and help to put things right in our lives as he would want them, as we would want them to be. The good news is that because Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, we can know that we're forgiven and holy in his sight. So as his light shines on us, know that that light is bringing wonder to us today. My second light is this one. We managed to find one. Sorry about that, Sheila. I put it right in your eyes, didn't I? I was trying to catch somebody. A torch. This can really help us if we're trying to find our way on a dark night, can't it? You know, we had the wonderful privilege of going to Greece on holiday in late September, early October. And we stayed in a lovely house of a dear friend. And she told us where to park at night when we were going down to the village into this little car park, which was really useful because you could always get into this car park. And it had little steps down and a little lane that led right through to the centre of the village, so we could go to a nice taverna to eat. Well, when we arrive each night, it was fine, it was still daylight. But when we were coming home, it wasn't. It was pitch black by then, because it seemed to go black very, very suddenly. And as we were walking along this, it was okay, because there was lights along it. But there were all lights that belonged to people's houses. There weren't, there weren't street lights like we have. They were all from people's houses, and that was fine. One night we came along, and there wasn't one of them on. It was absolutely pitch black, and we just were finding our way along. It seemed incredible, and we said, "Where's those steps that we have to go up?" And just as we thought that, somebody shone a torch down the steps. And they were more sensible than us. They knew what it would be like and had brought their torch. And they showed us the way up to our car. Well, I found a nice torch in the house and put it in my handbag. And there it stayed till the end of the holiday. Car lights are important, aren't they? To find your way if you're driving. I like looking at lighthouses. How important they are, aren't they, to shipping? So the light I'm thinking about here is a guiding light. Jesus, who is the light of the world, will guide us. He guides us by what he said when he was here on earth, by what he did, by the way he treated people. And in the Bible, we can find all that information and we can find guidance for every situation that we might find ourselves in. As we read it and pray, we find our way. He'll guide us through people as we listen to each other and as we share together. He'll even guide us through people who don't know him, who are non-Christians. One of the biggest guidances in my life came through somebody who wasn't a Christian. He can use anybody in any situation if we're willing to just look and allow him to guide us. And his guidance will enable us to cope with whatever life brings to us, because it's always wrapped in love and care. And my third point is simply a statement. Light does away with darkness. I can remember my daughter Jane, when she was at college, ringing up one night from a house that she was in and saying, "There's a power cut. I'm in by myself and it's pitch black. I don't know what to do." Well, I suggested she opened the curtains. You can sometimes get a chink of light, can't you? And also that she bought some candles the next day in case of such happenings. But I can remember being in a caravan once a long time ago and waking up to absolute blackness. And I don't like absolute blackness. I don't know about you, but I really don't like absolute blackness. And it just felt oppressive on me. And I thought, what can I do? Can I get up and do something? I just felt so uncomfortable. And then suddenly, there was a great flash of light followed by a roar of thunder. That's what it was all about, this oppressive darkness. It was a storm. But the light came to dispel that darkness. And you know, that was a spectacular flash, but it only takes a little bit, doesn't it? What about the Christingle candle? That bit where we turn all the lights out and the Christingle walks down the aisle. All our eyes are trained on that little light, aren't we? Till we light up the rest of the building. Your eyes just go to where the light are. I'm going to give you something now, or at least my grandchildren are going to run round and give you something quickly now, please. I'm going to stop for a minute while they do that. Can you go very quickly? Just put them on the end of rows and people will pass them along. Just hold on to your candle. I'm not going to go around and light them all. You're not going to burn. These front few rows here haven't got them. I've just given you those candles, really, to take home. I'm not going to light them here. We're not going to set ourselves or the church on fire today. But just as you take them, put them somewhere to remember that no matter what, it only takes a touch from the light of the world to make a difference. Put it somewhere this Christmas where you can see it and remember Jesus. The light of the world is with you. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, help me, and he's there. That light is there for you. You know, our faith may feel weak and wobbly at times, but do remember it only takes that one tiny candle to banish complete darkness. So I pray that this Christmas time, as we celebrate again the birth of Jesus, that each one of us will allow him to shine in our lives and in our homes. He will dispel darkness and lead us forward into another year with him. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.